Arizona has been famously or infamously called the meth lab of American democracy. But though our state is known nationally as a hardline conservative bastion, in a new piece for Politico, Arizona political writers Hank Stevenson and Jim Nitzel make the argument that our political landscape is actually much more complicated here. We are a state where 35% of voters are registered Republicans, 31% are Democrats, but a full 33% of voters here reject both parties and are registered as independents. We are also a state where Latinos are the fastest growing demographic, and a Democrat may be poised to win the first statewide election here since Janet Napolitano left office nearly a decade ago. So what does it take to win in Arizona? That is the question Stevenson and Nitzel tackle in this piece for Politico. Stevenson is the editor of the Yellow Sheet Report here, and Nitzel is the editor of Tucson Weekly. I spoke with both of them more about the piece yesterday, and we started with that Arizona paradox they say is making this election especially interesting.
Well, you know, we do obviously have the state where the governor wagged her finger in the face of the president, and that we have the state of SB 1070. But at the same time, as we pointed out, Hank wrote that the governor also managed to push through a Medicaid expansion here in the state, and that Russell Pierce, the architect of those immigration laws, ended up getting recalled. And so there's a lot of complications in Arizona is not a simple state to understand.
Right. And so you're looking at this through the lens of two major statewide races here. So we've got two Democratic candidates, Kyrsten Sinema running for Senate and David Garcia running for governor. So, and they are approaching this entirely differently, right?
So differently, they're not even endorsing each other's campaign. I think last I heard, Kyrsten Sinema wouldn't even say whether or not she was going to vote for David Garcia.
Yeah, I think what's happening is you're seeing David Garcia really making a play for the left and trying to spur up the voters who don't normally vote, inspire the people on the left who normally stay home on election day to actually get out and vote. And this is an argument you hear a lot from people on the left. They say that too many Democrats run as Republican light and they don't reach out, and that's why they lose. Kyrsten Sinema, the congresswoman running against Martha McSally in the Senate race, has taken a much different approach. She's a very moderate Democrat. She's voted alongside the Trump agenda, so to speak, according to 538, I think more than 50% of the time. Mm-hmm. And she is definitely making that play for the middle. She's saying, I don't care about the politics. I care about the policy. I'm going to do what's right for Arizonans, in an attempt to try to peel off some Republican voters and woo over independents, in order, because she's out to build a coalition, essentially. And her coalition, she hopes, will be women who are upset, Republican women particularly, who are upset with the direction of the Republican Party, independents and Democrats.
Mm-hmm. So which approach is working here?
Well, clearly, Sinema's approach is working a lot better than Garcia's approach. You know, we could always see some sort of massive, unexpected surge on election day that would put David Garcia a little bit closer to the governor's office, but my jaw would be on the floor if he actually won, whereas Sinema has a very good shot. You know, every poll we've seen has had her within the margin of error from McSally, a lot of times barely leading McSally. That is going to be, you know, a race that probably isn't even decided on election day. We'll have to wait until every ballot is counted, I would bet.
Yeah.
And we should point out, they're not exactly identical campaigns in terms of testing these two different messages, because Kyrsten Sinema has a great deal more money than David Garcia has. So it's not exactly a lab experiment here, because David Garcia is being so dramatically outspent. It's difficult for him to get his message out.
So independents are a major X factor in our state. So who is winning that group and where do they lean?
Kyrsten Sinema is doing really well with independents and self-described moderates. They tend to, in Arizona, lean conservative. A lot of politicos will tell you that independents are, one, not a party, and two, you know, kind of disaffected former members of either party. So most independents in this state are, you know, lean Democrat or lean Republican, probably more Republican, but they've left the party for a reason, you know, and I think that you've seen an increase in the number of independents in the last couple of years as the state has made it easier to register as an independent and still participate in primaries of your choosing. But those are a hard bunch to get out and vote. These are people who are disaffected by politics, and oftentimes they simply check out during election time. So, you know, it's one, winning the independence, and then two, turning out the independence is a big factor.
Right, right. So let's talk about this story that's been around in Arizona politics for several election cycles here now that always gets some national play, which is Arizona's going to turn purple, or is Arizona going to turn purple? What's behind that? Is that, that's all about demographic shifts here, right?
Yeah, I think it's about the Democrats hoping that the Latino vote is going to turn out in their favor, and younger voters are going to turn out in their favor. And the percentage of Latino voters has been rising, but it hasn't been rising as quickly as you might expect, given what has happened in the state with SB 1070 and such. That law did not really drive a lot of Latinos to the polls in opposition to those policies. And we'll see whether or not the Trump effect does that. You know, there's obviously, you look at some of the research, there's a lot of Latinos in this country who are concerned now that they or someone they know could face deportation as a result of the current administration. But that may also not be enough to get the Arizona Latinos to the polls. The numbers are growing, but they're not growing quite at the pace that certainly Democrats need to be able to win a statewide race.
And I thought a really good kind of point that one Dem Politico made to us was that if you look at the percent of minorities that are young in this state, it's not just about, you know, minorities not turning out. It's about young people not turning out. And the vast majority of young people, more young people, are of minorities rather than old people. So those minorities are going to be aging at some point. And hopefully, you know, those trends will take over, that as they get older, they start to vote, or at least hopefully for the Democrats.
Yeah. So in terms of how Arizona compares to the rest of the states on the national stage here in the midterms, how does Trump poll here? I mean, you point out here that this is a state that went to Trump in the election, but also a state that had the two sitting senators who have been most critical of the president.
I think Trump is a very polarizing figure in politics in every state. But I think that in Arizona, I think his approval's pretty much not quite 50-50, because there are people who say don't know or don't care. But if you look at the polls, some polls will show him slightly underwater and some will show him slightly above water. But it's pretty split, I think, in Arizona.
Yeah. And it's been interesting to see the two Republicans so willingly attach themselves to Trump. Martha McSally just recently had a big MAGA rally with Trump here. Doug Ducey, I think a lot of people were looking at him and seeing him attempting to put some distance between himself and the president up until recently, where he's appeared at this rally and said some nice things at the rally about the president.
Okay. But when you saw, you know, with Jeff Flake, who was very critical of Donald Trump, you saw his numbers really collapse. And he'd had some problems with conservatives to begin with. But really, it was after he went after Trump that he suddenly realized he was not going to win a Republican primary in this state. So I think Republicans recognize that and they attach themselves to the president. Martha McSally was a very moderate Republican down here in southern Arizona, or portrayed herself as such. And in fact, in 2016, when she was running in this very competitive district in southern Arizona, she was saying she didn't endorse the president. She wouldn't say whether she would vote for the president. She was critical of him after the Access Hollywood stuff came out. And now, you know, she's his wingman.
Mm-hmm. So along those lines, last thing for you then, it would be easier to answer this question in a week, I'm sure. But looking at the way these races are panning out now, is the lesson here that this sort of independent, middle of the road, almost the Maverick John McCain line comes to mind, is that the way to win here?
I think that has been the way Democrats have won in Arizona. If you look at Janet Napolitano, you know, she was an attorney general and former U.S. attorney who was very tough on crime. She was successful. You don't see Democrats who are embracing the more liberal wing of the party having a whole lot of success. But a lot of other factors come into play, too, in terms of ballot initiatives and other things that can be on the ballot that can help boost Democrats.
Yeah, and it's not just a matter of being a Democrat light. As Ninsel said, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into this. You've got to be competitive with money. You've got to have a strong campaign in general. But yeah, it's very hard to win as a progressive Democrat in Arizona.
All right. Hank Stevenson, Jim Ninsel, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure.